I know how Brother Philip feels, because most of the time, places that I go, it's only me. And I tell them a lot of time, I said, I know y'all got to get tired of hearing me, because I'm just sort of, I guess you might say, one-sided with it. And when my fellow brethren come in, yoke brethren come in, there was a place recently when I had one of my fellow brethren to come in, and I had to go back there and meet him. I said, man, you're like a ray of sunshine to me this morning. And he looked at me and laughed. He said, I didn't come to preach. I said, get ready. Get ready. I said, I appreciate all the help that I can get. So with that being said, there, the Lord willing, I'll try to take something that I've heard a lot of times. It's nothing new. Matter of fact, all the scriptures is old. They've been since God inspired them, and that Christ said. So we preach the same things over and over, maybe down different channels and different avenues, but basically the same thing. But I'd like to try to deal with a verse this morning that I guess I've heard a million times, and it's probably one of the most misused verses in the Bible. And I'd like to try to help shed just a little bit of light upon that verse. You go into the Gospel of John, and in chapter 3, and I'm going to just get right down to the verse, but there's a lot of stuff ahead of that verse that sort of, to me, sheds light on the verse. But here you'll find in the Gospel of John, in chapter 3, and verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just that one verse in itself there, that's a multitude of truth there, and if the Lord should open up, we'll be into the afternoon. But I know y'all don't want to be here that long. I've got up here with Brother Ronnie a few times and Brother Tracy a few times, and we had about a four-hour enjoyable conversation. And I think I was here at midnight one night. After midnight, my wife called me and said, are you coming home? I said, yeah, I'm fixing to go now. And we got caught up here one afternoon. We was up here all afternoon, one afternoon, and talking. So once I get in, the Lord opens up, I enjoy it. So I trust the Lord to bless me. But when you go back here to this verse, I heard it many, many times. All you got to do is believe. Because that verse says that God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth. Well, that's a condition there. The condition is based on belief. The world has the view, or mankind has the view, that all a man has to do, we are a free moral agent, and with us being a free moral agent, all we got to do is with our natural mind is just believe. Just believe. But the Lord would help me for a few moments. I'd like to try to show you where it's a little bit more involved than just believing. Just a little bit more involved. You say, well, what's going to be involved? Well, you go back up here, it's dealing with that of Nicodemus, when Nicodemus come to Christ and was inquiring of him, you know, about the birth. And you'll remember that Christ said, except thou be born again, thou canst not even see the kingdom of God. All right? And then he says he's dealing with that being born of the water and that of the Spirit. I'm going to say that's born of the flesh is flesh, and that's born of the Spirit is spirit. You've got those two aspects of it. I'd like to go back over here to my mind. It's just sort of come back to the top. Over here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, if my mind serves me correctly. And let me see if I can turn around and read that to you this morning. Here, to me, this begins to nail it down. Let's first look at the aspect here that when mankind is born, he's born like Job said, he's born like a wild ass's coat. He's got that old wild nature about him out here in the world. Then he doesn't know anything other than that of his surroundings and that of his environment and that he sort of brought up in. That's all he knows. He can't know anything outside of that. You might say, well, Brother Frank, is there some scripture to justify that? Well, here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That tells me a man is born, we'll say born of the flesh, and just got natural life, there's no way that he can know the things of God. So he says, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Well, that goes back and tells me that natural man, he can't know the things of the Lord over here. Well, if our children that is born into our family, if they have just got that natural life here, in other words, we can set the right examples before them and try to bring them up in childhood training. We can do all of that to establish, trying to get them started in life on the right foot. But if God doesn't come in and if God doesn't do something, this will be all they'll ever see. Mom and Dad can talk from now on, and it'll probably go in one end, out the other. But if God has been with them, if God has blessed them with an experience of grace over here, then they're going to be able to start grasping. They'll start grasping little bits and pieces of it as they begin to grow up over here. So here, this is what John is dealing with here, at least that of Christ. Christ is dealing with, is the aspect over here that you must be born again. Then he comes on down further here in this chapter, and it's one verse here that really stood out to me, and since it's been on my mind, you get here in verse 13, he's dealing with that of the, here's Christ, he's talking. He says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, brethren, that's three aspects in that one verse of Scripture there. He said, nobody's going to send up except him, he that come down. Well, he that come down was Christ. Christ is going to be the one that ascends back up, which he had not yet ascended, but he's using the statement here, that's in heaven now. The Son of Man that's in heaven now. He's in all of those places at once. Then you come down here a little bit further, and then he's beginning to point you to something here. He said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'd like to try to point out, there's a lot of scripture that we could get into this morning here. You can get back over here into Psalms of David and Psalms 10, where it says over here, when it comes down to dealing with that of the wicked, that God's not in all of his thoughts. I mean that person that's in sin out here, that of nature, he doesn't think about God. He's not concerned about God. He's not concerned about the church, or he's not concerned with anything that comes down to that of God. It's only going to be that individual here that's been born of the Holy Spirit of God. It's going to be that individual that God has dealt with. When that individual has been born of the Spirit of God over here, which is going to be by the power and the might of God, not a preacher, over here, this sort of leaves out the ministry here, brethren. I know a lot of preachers like to claim that they saved so many, but they really hadn't saved anybody. But even though they like to claim that over here, the saving is going to come about is from that of God. Once God has dealt with an individual in there, at that time, when he's been born of the Holy Spirit of God, God gave that individual faith. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Frank, how can you say that he gave him faith over here? Well, brethren, when I go here into the book of Galatians in chapter 5 and down about verse 22, when I'm reading of the fruits of the Spirit, and I won't take time to get into all of them this morning, but one of those fruits of the Spirit there is faith. So therefore, brethren, when you've been born of the Spirit of God, God has blessed you with faith, brethren. He blessed you with that ability. He blessed you. He gave you that ability to believe in him and in Christ over here and to believe in that of his word over here. When God is pleased to bless his ministry, to be able to preach it in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God over here, brethren, he's blessed you. And when that word goes out, it's going to find a lodging place over here, brethren. It'll find a lodging place in the heart of a little child of God over here. You say, well, Brother Frank, how in the world can you say that? Well, Isaiah says that whatsoever that God saith that goeth out from him shall not return back unto him void. So, brethren, it's going to accomplish whereunto it was sent. So, therefore, brethren, if God blesses his ministry or his servants over here to be able to preach something and it goes out, it's going to find a lodging place, brethren. And it's going to accomplish that whereunto it's sent over here. And this is what he was talking about here, brethren, when you begin to look at this part here, part there. He said over here, whosoever believeth over here, brethren. In other words, do you think all the world under consideration here?
When you begin to look at that, brother, no, the world's not under consideration. You say, well, Brother Frank, how can you say that? Let me just go back over here, and I want to hit just a couple of verses here. When you get over here into the book of 1 John, and you begin to look at this passage over here, you're going to find out where we are instructed over here in the Gospel of John, 1 John in chapter 2 over here. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, brother, when you begin to look at everything that's in this world and in this life over here, brother, we're being instructed by that of God through that of 1 John over here, brother, not to love those things, not to be desirous of those things over here. And then you can come on down a little bit farther in this chapter over here. I'm just trying to show you a difference in the world over here, brother, that's under consideration. And notice here when he comes on down over here into that last chapter there in 1 John. And let me just drop down to about verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. In other words, brethren, here it is, John putting a distinction between the two. In other words, the whole world lieth in wickedness over here. But we are of God. So therefore, that's something that's been called out of that world over here that's different, that God has blessed this people over here, brethren, to be able to have faith over here. And that's why here, when the precious Son of God, oh, here, when he spoke these precious words over here, brother, he was beginning to go back and look into that of eternity, that of his Father. He said, for his Father so loved, brother, over here. In other words, God had great joy in that of his people over here. Not only great joy, but God was pleased with that of his people over here, brother, to the extent over here, not of that what we was going to do or what we was going to accomplish, but to the extent of what his precious Son was going to accomplish for us, brethren, and that of the cross. When I began to look at that and view that over here, he so loved the world, brother. Can you imagine a God loving you? When you begin to look at your nature and your state, can you imagine that? I can't imagine it. When you look over here in Ezekiel, I think it is about chapter 16, about that little child that was left out over here. None to swaddle it, none to do anything, none to care for it. But what happened, brother, when God passed by? What did he say, brethren? He said it was the time of what? Love. Brother, I thank God it was a time of love. You say, well, what did that child represent? I think it represents the church and the children of God. Here, brethren, in this life and in this world over here. And he blessed you. She began to grow and she began to fashion, brethren, over here. And everything. But what happened? Did she continue faithful? She didn't, brethren. What did my precious Lord say over here? He says she's played the part of a harlot. Brethren, that's putting us in that category. It's putting us in that position over here, brother, that our lives is not going to be honorable to that of God. Brethren, if our lives are going to be honorable unto God, how is it going to be, brother? It's going to be because of what God has done over here upon that rugged tree of the cross, what Christ accomplished upon that rugged tree of the cross. He so loved the world, brother. In other words, there's a world out here where people are dead in trespass and sin that will never know God. There's another world over here, brethren, over here, that God has called out, that God has blessed with faith over here, that's been blessed to believe in the things of God and trust in the things of God. This is the world that God loved, brethren. This is the world that He loved. This is the world that He gave His only begotten Son for over here, that He should come into this world and die and pay the sin debt over here. And notice here, Carol, he said, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish over here. Brother, you're talking about there. When Jesus Christ comes as the representative, brother, you say, well, wait a minute, Brother Frank. How in the world can you say the representative over here? Well, my mind goes back over here into the Gospel of John in chapter 6 over here, where Christ said, He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. This is the will of Him that sent me, of all that the Father had given me, that I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up again at the last day over here, brother. There's that world, brother. There's that world that my precious Lord died for, and my precious Savior, brother, went through the suffering and the anguish and the torment that He had to go through here, brother. Why did He do that, brother? Because it was because of love, brethren. He was bound over here to go forth into this world here and to pay that sin debt. When I begin to look over here further into the Scriptures, that it says, as it was determined. You get into Luke, in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 22 and drop down about 22 there, you're going to find out, it, as it was determined, brother. I looked that word determined up. That word determined down means to mark out and bound. My precious Lord, the way that He was to come and the way that He was to go was marked out and bound from that of eternity, brother. That He would come and pay the sin debt over here upon the rugged tree of the cross. That's why John could go back over here, brother, and begin man to tell him that he shall lose nothing. I'm thankful unto God that God has blessed me to be able not only to believe, brother, but to be able to feel within the depth of my heart and within the confines of my soul over here, brother, over here, all that he died for, all that he shed his blood for upon the rugged tree of the cross. We'll be with him in heaven one day beyond this veil of tears over here, brother. I know at our very best as we live here in this life, brother, our life is going to be at the very best that we got is still going to be sinful in the sight of God. We're still going to fall short over here, brother. That's why we need to love over here like Christ loved us over here. A lot of times our brethren will get to the point in the place, you know, they might offend us over here and they might hurt our feelings a lot of times. But brother, and I tell you what, we need to overlook that over here, brother. We need to continue to go forth over here like my precious Lord did. When I begin to think about Jesus Christ, the precious Son of God, you think about how His own people treated Him. But brethren, He continued on faithful, brethren. Shouldn't we continue faithful when it comes down to the service of God? We should. Why should we do that? Back because of this world over here that Christ died for. That believeth. Brethren, I tell you what, brethren, believeth. God has given us the power. When I look out here this morning, it tells me that God has done something for you over here, that you've got a belief in the depth of your heart and soul when it comes down to the things of God and for that of His Word and for that of His kingdom, that you had a desire that you wanted to come out of this morning. If God hadn't done that, do you think you would have been here? I don't think so. You say, well, Brother Frank, how can you say that? Well, I go to church every Sunday morning. I have to go by golf courses. Brother, you can't park another vehicle around the golf course. And they tell me they're going for exercise a lot of times. Well, they have them golf carts out there riding around. If they wanted to exercise, how come they don't tote the golf bag and get the exercise? And all they're riding that cart, and they'll get out and they'll take that little stick, which I have never really understood, you know, and hit that ball. And if you can get it in the hole with the one strike, you're doing good. You get too many strikes, you ain't doing so good over here, brother. Why? Because, brother, I'm talking about a person here that's in nature, that he's concerned with the things of this world. He's not going to be out at the house of the Lord. Let me give you another one. I go by a lake on some Sundays. Brother, I go by there on some Sundays, I tell you what, you can't put another boat in there. You say, why? Because, brother, I'm talking about a man that's in nature. He wants to be on that lake. He wants to be fishing, brother. Or he wants to be on the golf course playing golf. He don't want to be concerned about the things of God. And we as a child of God over here, that God has blessed us with faith and the ability to be able to believe in the things of God. And not only that, brother, bless you to know and to understand the things of God. Don't you think we need to be trying to live it? Don't you think we need to try to be doing it to the best of our ability, even though we're going to fall short? But I got some comfort for you this morning, brother. Where you fall short, Christ made up the difference. Brethren, when I look at that, I fall short of so much. I'm getting to the place now that when I get out here to work, I used to get out here and do my whole yard in one day. It takes me 2 days, man. You say, why? Because, brethren, it's something about me. Sin is taking its toll on me, and I'm wearing out. Can't quite do it. So, based on that belief, God bless his belief, that we should not perish. What do you mean perish there? What does that word mean? It means destruction. What do you mean? I'm talking about a people over here that's going to be destroyed. Brethren, even though destroyed, not completely destroyed. You say, wait a minute, Brother Frank. That's a mind twister. What are you talking about? Well, brethren, there's one thing that man wants to do. What is that? Live forever. Well, I got news for you. You're going to live forever. Everybody's going to live forever. You say, wait a minute, Brother Frank. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the ungodly and the wicked's going to live forever, just like the righteous is going to live forever. Man's going to get what he wants. Man's going to get it. What's going to be that? That destruction now means, and I get over here in the book of Revelation, and when God's going to cast them in, it says, oh, it cast them into the lake of fire. And if you look at that carefully, brethren, it says over here, and this is the second death. Second death. I don't know about y'all. I heard this said one time. I thought about it, thought about it, thought about it. Born twice, die once. Born once, die twice. Don't you think there's some truth in that, brethren? I do. I definitely think there's some truth there. Because that person in nature out here, he's going to be born once. A natural birth in this life. That will be all he will ever have in this life. All right? With that being the case over here, he's going to die a natural corporal death. Just like Lazarus did. But now, Lazarus was not of that contrary part over here. I'm just using that to make the point here, brethren. Lazarus died a natural death, but Christ raised him back. All right, that natural man will die a natural death over here. You said, well, wait a minute, Emperor Frank. You said that all the spirits and souls go back to the Father, not all of them. That man that's of nature, brother, that man that's of nature out here, when he dies, that soul and that spirit goes to torment. Right then. Not later. And it's bound there. You say, wait a minute, Brother Frank, how can you say that? You ever get over here in the book of, in the Gospel of Luke, and you remember about Lazarus and the rich man? That man, Lazarus, died. When that man died over here, he said that he was carried to what? Abraham's bosom. I won't take time to get in all this. But the rich man that died over here, and if you go back and read that carefully, you're going to find he died and he was buried. Something's still alive about him, and in torment lifted up his eyes. You got them three counts there, brother. That man was in torment. But he was blessed to be able to see Lazarus over here, this poor man, in Abraham's bosom. If I remember correctly, I might be a little off on this. Brother Philip can straighten me out. But he said, send somebody from the dead that warn my brethren that they'll not wind up in this place. And the scripture comes back to reply, which is same as God replying, that if somebody went from the dead, they wouldn't hear. They wouldn't hear. How come they won't hear? Because, brother, he's in that natural state. He can't. He can't hear, brethren. He doesn't have an ear to hear. And then God's going to cast them into the lake of fire, and over here in Revelation, which is the second death, the natural. They're going to be separated from that of God. Right now, the ungodly and the wicked in this world, they have got the, I'm going to say, the presence of God and the blessings of God now while they live in this world. You say, how can that be? Is that scripture to justify that? Well, when my mind goes over here in Matthew, and in Matthew it says over here, God sends rain on the just and the unjust. That tells me that unjust individual here is having the mercies of God. He's got the mercies of God. Along with what? The just, which is God's righteous. Got them both. But that's going to come a time, brethren. That's going to come a time over here when that will no longer be. No longer be over here. So in other words, when it comes down to the perish part over here, we as God's people, we'll be like that Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, brethren, over here. We'll be there with the Father. We'll be with Him in eternity. And then when Christ comes back, I need to hurry up here. Let me, he's on here. He said, oh yeah, should not perish. Let me get the last part of that. And have everlasting life. I've tried to deal with all aspects of that verse. Everlasting life. That child of God over here, that's been born of the Spirit of God, that when he dies, he doesn't die. He's got something inside of him, oh here, brethren, that's going back to the Father. He's got something that's going to go in the grave, all right, but that's not going to stay there. I read over here in the book of Romans chapter 8 over here where it said over here, Christ died for the body. Well, if he died for the body, don't you think he's going to get it? When you read over here in the Gospel of John, say that he shall lose nothing, but he shall raise it up again at the last day, I'm going to conclude that word nothing now means the body too. In other words, brother, that body's going to come out when Christ comes back. When he comes back from glory over here, that body will come out of the grave. And that soul and that spirit will be reunited with it in a glorified state, brethren. Glorified. I don't know about y'all. I'm not yet glorified. Some say, wait a minute now, Brother Frank. Don't you see I done lost it all up here? Don't you see how white it's done got? Sin's taking its toll, brethren. It's bringing you down bit by bit and piece by piece. And I go to some of these nursing homes, brethren. I go to one in Jackson up there and do some business. You go into that place, and when I go in there, and I begin to look at all those people there, I said, look here what sin has done. Some of them is in wheelchairs. Some of them don't even realize they're there. I went to visit a sister, and I come up, I spoke to her, been knowing her all her life. She looked at me, and I said, Sister Agnes, do you know who this is? She looked at me. She didn't say a word over here. Started trying to talk to her. She takes those feet and she started pushing that wheelchair right on down the hall. She had no idea who I was. Here was an individual at one time went to the house of God and rejoiced in the things of God. Now she don't have any realization of it. Taken away because of sin. Well, is that going to hinder the work of my Lord? Is that going to hinder the work of my Savior? No, it's not. No, it's not, brother. It's not going to hinder. Because, brother, when he said, I shall lose nothing, but I shall raise it up again last day, whether you have any knowledge of him or any understanding of him or what he did, brother, if he died for you upon the cross, he will raise you from the confines of the grave over here and you'll be with him in glory. Ain't that wonderful, brethren? I think that's the wonderfulest thing on the face of this earth over here. There's one thing I tried to ask the good Lord. I know my memory ain't like it used to be, but I said, Lord, don't let me lose my mind. Don't let me lose my mind. Lord, let me keep my mind. You say, why? So I can behave myself. If you ain't got no mind, you don't know how to behave yourself, brethren. You just anything. And I've seen some of the older ones, brethren, with the children. I hope I don't be that way. I've tried to ask the Lord not to let me be like that. But they see here, brethren, going to have everlasting life. But a lot of times, we got this old nature. You ever seen some of the old people a lot of times when they get real old and get feeble like that, and here's the children, their family, they're trying to do for them, and they'll be so rude to them. I mean, they'll speak hard sometimes. They'll be rude to them. What are those children going to do? I can remember an occasion one time that if those children done like he was doing, they'd have just went home and left him. But those children, love, out of love, they just let him say what he wanted to say, ever how hard, ever how harsh, but they continued right on. You know what I saw in that, brethren? You know what I saw in that? I saw my Lord. No matter how hard or how harsh they might get with us, we have got with our precious Lord, our Lord continued right on. Didn't slow him down a bit. Didn't slow them down a bit. Brethren, he called us out in this life to suffer. And this life is suffering. Like I heard one brother recently say, he said, Brother Frank, he said, the world has lied to me ever since I've been in the world. I say, amen. It's lied to me ever since I've been in the world, brother. But thank God for a precious truth here. He said, oh, here, and shall have everlasting life. Close with this wonderful and this beautiful and this glorious thought. When Christ over here, Paul in the book of Romans, down toward the latter part of that over here. Let me see. I don't think I can remember that exactly like it ought to be. But let me just sort of see if I can, y'all bear with me just a few moments and I'll give you some rest. That's what I told here recently at that one place over there, you know. They was picking at me a little bit sometimes when the Lord blesses and they was saying, Brother Frank, they said, being brief is sort of not in your vocabulary. I said, well, I can be brief, you know. They were sort of picking at me, and I like that. I mean, when brothers pick at me like that, you say what? That tells me he sort of loves me a little bit. if they don't have anything to do with you, I say, uh-oh. But here in the book of Romans, let me sort of drop down through here, see if I can find it right quick. All right, here we go. Right here. He says, and I like this, brother. This is wonderful. This gets us. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall do it? All right. Shall tribulation, everything in this life, tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or pearl or sword? Now, if you take time to do a little word study on all that and get in all that pearl and that sword, this is not going to take you away from Christ, but I won't take time to get into that. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen, brethren, over here. That you might have eternal life. We need to thank God that He blessed us with faith and He blessed us with the ability to believe in Him. In that, brethren, we have eternal life. God bless you.